I'm going to invite Chris up to join us. Chris is our curate, for those who don't know you, sorry, and part of our leadership team here at Christchurch. And we have the great privilege that Chris is going to be speaking to us today, but he's brought a team with him, which I'm really excited for. So can I pray for you?
And the team.
Marvellous. Yeah, so joining Chris in a moment, we're going to have Sharon and Matt and Emily and another Chris. So we'll pray for all of them now, and then you can come up when we've done some business. So, Father, I thank you for this extraordinary group of people. I thank you for the individuals that you've made them to be, that you designed them, and you've woven the story of their lives in such a way that they are perfectly equipped to come and share your word this morning. Would you speak powerfully through them? Would you give them real confidence in their own testimony? And would you give all of us soft hearts and open ears ready to hear what you long to share with each one of us today? Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Morag. Now, it is a joy to welcome Chris and Sharon and Matt and Emily to join me. It's wonderful. Give them a round of applause as they come up. Well, I wonder how many in the church family will know each one of these lovely people here. We're just going to very briefly introduce each of them. So this is Sharon Parsons.
Hi, everyone.
We have Chris Wright.
Hi.
And we have Matt and Emily Nixon.
Hello.
Hi.
Both all wonderful members of our church family. And if you caught up with the talk last week, you will know that we are talking about encounter last week and this week. And we're going through a series where we're talking about different values, the values of family and generosity and encounter and transformation. And that's taking us on into the summer. And what we've been really just excited about with these talks is that we can bring up people from our church family and you can hear from other people about what encounter looks like in this case. So I'm really excited about what we're going to hear today. And so last week we talked just a little about the Israelites' journey back from Babylon. They were in exile there, into Jerusalem, and they built a new temple and a new wall, and they encountered God in a new way. And so today, really, we are just going to listen to each of these guys and hear what encounter looks like for them, what their day-to-day or week-to-week or even encounter from just moments in their past that have shaped their lives. It's going to be a whole mix of things. And so let's get straight to that. And I wonder, Chris, could we start with you? You had a particular moment of encounter just as you look back in your life that's shaped your life. I wonder if you'd like to tell us a bit about
that. It was
that.
A long time coming, though. I was brought up in a Christian family. My father was principal of Tyndale Hall, one of the three colleges that became Trinity in the 60s. But it didn't make me a theologian, and it didn't make me a Christian, although I thought. I knew people became Christians. That's why there are missionaries. But to me, I just had to leave a good life, and I didn't. By the time I was in my teens at school, this is hard to say, actually. I was in a group, and we knew the filthiest jokes. I don't mean just rude. And I spoke with the foulest obscenities, and I still worried I wasn't good enough for heaven. And I was nearly 18. I'd just left school. I was Redland Church in the youth club. And one evening we went to see a Christian film. I can remember very little about it. But on the way home, I was thinking, supposing God calls me to be a missionary, what will I say? I got back, everyone was in bed. I went to my father's study to look for a book of like 20 handy hints for missionaries. Instead, I found a book called The New Boy. I remember it well. Took it to my bed, sat up in bed, and there, one of the first things I saw, it said, and this is a promise from God from the Bible, it said, 1 John 1:8-9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I thought, wow, that's in the Bible. I knew it was in the old prayer book we used, and I thought it was some sort of wishful thinking for good people. And then I found other promises. Jesus will never turn anyone away who comes to him. I made a few notes in case I got a senior moment. Jesus is knocking at the door, and believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Take me. Next morning I woke up and I thought, something's happened. I thought, yes, I know. Jesus, thank you. And it was just the start of an amazing Christian life. 2 weeks later, there's a couple who ran it, the youth club, said to me after the wife said, are you a Christian? Now, 3 weeks before, I'd have been tempted to say, mind your own business, but I said to her, yes, I am. She said, what, a real born-again Christian? I said, yes, I am. She said, would you like to tell the others about it next week? I thought, would I ever? So I did. A bit later, coming out of church, a girl called Olive, I used to walk back part of the way with, said to me, I don't think I'm really a Christian. I'd like to be. So we met up the next night. And I led her to the Lord. And after that, everything had been absolutely brilliant, mountaintop experiences. But they weren't. I soon learned that becoming a Christian isn't getting on the train, finding a comfortable seat and getting off at heaven. It's a life to be lived. And Pilgrim's Progress, if you know the story, although he has a few good experiences, he's usually down in the valley fighting giants, going the wrong way, stupidly making mistakes. Once he decides to take a shortcut and gets caught by giant despair, locked in Doubting Castle, and he's about to be killed, and he remembers he's got a key of promise which opens any lock. That, of course, is Bible verses, but they need to be claimed. It took a little time to realize that it's not like getting a check for £1 million. You've got to cash it in. It's no good in your pocket. It needs cashing. It's just a piece of paper with words on it, and so in the Bible, words on paper until you claim them. I've got more I can say, but I think it's only fair to pass over.
We shall certainly look forward to hearing just a little bit more in a minute or two. And isn't that wonderful, just that moment with God around a book, and then that lifetime of recognizing you have to choose, and what you could use the phrase cash it in. That's that sense of actually choosing to stand on God's word and on the presence of God. I wonder, Emily, what does encounter with God, what does that look like for you? What does that bring to your mind?
Well, I think probably earlier on in life for me, that would have just been, at church or at different kind of Christian events, I did have some really amazing experiences with God there, and experiencing him that were really amazing. But I think kind of throughout my life, I've started to encounter God through more things that were already like passions for me in my life, but started experiencing God through them in ways I hadn't before, which was really amazing. So music is one that probably happened the soonest. And I guess, yeah, music's always a big part of church events and things anyway, but just like music that I like to listen to that was secular music, I feel like God's spoken to me a lot through, and or just like music without words, classical music, like experience God through them, which is amazing. And then more recently, dance as well. That's something that I'd always done growing up and I loved doing, but that wasn't something that I ever like connected to God with. But a few years ago, started feeling like he was calling me to do that a bit, and that was amazing, because it was something that I was already passionate about and something that I loved to do, and meeting him in that was really great. And then also in my work, I do scientific research, and in that I've met him in loads of amazing ways, because there's been like months where I've been trying to do something and it hasn't worked, and kind of going through that journey of, with God and praying for different breakthroughs and seeing him come through in loads of really amazing ways. That's been really great for me. And then the last thing's just being in nature. And I've always loved that, but over the years I've started to connect to God through that loads more. And so, yeah, I think for me, I think encounter is sort of, for me, it's some, you know, things that I'm already passionate about that God has put in my heart and that have been part of me my whole life. I'm starting to experience him in those things, which is really great. And so, yeah, for other people, I would encourage you that if you've got like passions that, that maybe you hadn't experienced God explicitly and before, to invite him into them, because it's really amazing and he's put those passions in your heart anyway. So, yeah.
I feel like I can probably add to that, because my experience is similar, but me and Emily are very different as well, in that so I love like fantasy fiction literature and things like that, and like particularly the ones that have been written kind of for the purpose of expressing spiritual realities, like Narnia and Lord of the Rings and things like that, and I can really meet God in reading those things, and even actually recently I kind of realized I felt God wanted me to like start writing my own book that's not particularly good, but it's a way of really meeting with God that is like, you know, exploring through my own kind of enthusiasm for this sort of fantasy fiction literature, and ways I can almost express about how I'm feeling with God and spiritual realities in a new way. And it's been an amazing way of meeting with God that's like really me, but also really good with God. So it kind of, it's similar to Emily, but also very different and personal. So it's, I think it's really cool. Yeah.
I love the way, just there's so much the ordinary things of life, listening to music, reading books, and just finding God in the midst of those moments, and how you're stepping into those. And probably after this gathering, you probably ought to, Matt and Chris, you probably ought to have a chat. So Chris has written many books. And if we had more time, we would do an interview with him about some of those books. But yeah, you've done a lot of writing. Before we maybe touch on those a bit, I'd love to talk to Sharon. What does encounter with God look like for you, Sharon?
I think it changes over the years and the seasons that you're in. So I was thinking, I think before lockdown, Mark Parsons, my other half, was often out at meetings in the evenings, and I often had quite a lot of time at home. And I think I would spend quite a lot of time, certainly starting off at the piano, just worshipping, thinking about, you know, what's going on in my life. And I've definitely had times when I felt God speak to me, or he's brought parts of lyrics to life that I haven't really thought of, haven't noticed before. There was an occasion when I particularly sensed God speaking to me about another person and a word that I had for them. And I think since lockdown, that's really changed. The house is full of people. I've not had that space. And I've taken up running, and I put some music on, and I go out down the Portway running. It's a long stretch of road. It's, you know, you keep going for quite a while. And certainly sometimes I run back home past along the riverbank, where it's a bit more in nature. And I think when I've given myself the headspace to reflect on what's happening, on the word, on the worship, I think that's where God's met with me. I think I need to create some space in my life when I shut out some of the other noise. It's easy to always have the internet on, to have, you know, work on, emails on all the time. So I think when I've taken myself to another place, then I think God's got half a chance of speaking to me, and for me being able to actually hear that. And I think the other thing I do is I write it down. I've brought my journal here, and I very much try to capture where I think the things God's saying to me. And the great thing about this is actually you look back and you think, God, there are some themes emerging here. And actually this week I was looking at preparing for the One Day One Church prayer evening. I was brought to a particular verse about being brought into a spacious place. And I thought, oh, I've had that before. And it was literally almost a day to the year that God gave me that exact Bible passage again. And then thinking, well, what was God saying to me at that time, and what's he saying to me now, and what's the continuation of that conversation, what does it look like, where is it taking me, and then capturing that and using this to reflect on deepens that conversation that you end up having with God around certain themes.
Wonderful. I love that sense of conversation, and you sort of talked about kind of creating space for encounter, and I wonder, do Matt, Emily, Chris, do you have any sense of how do you create space for encounter with God? What does that look like for you?
I jumped in. I've got a few thoughts really on that. I mean, so one of the first things, one that a really key Bible verse for me is it's either Matthew 18:20 or Matthew 20:18, and I can't remember which way around it is. But one of those two. Jesus says, you know, where two or more people are gathered in my name, there I am with them. And I think a really big thing for me for making spaces is actually, you know, being with people pursuing God. Like, you know, it's promised in the Bible. You know, if you're meeting with a friend to go and pray on the downs, you know, God's there with you. You know, are you in church? God's there with you. Are you in small group? God's there with you. You know, because that's what it says. So I think that's a really big thing, is actually not always feeling like you have to go alone in that. That's a massive thing for me. And then I guess another thing I find is more, and what strikes me in the really big moments of encounter, if you will, is actually that God doesn't feel like he's jumped out of nowhere. The distinction for me is that he's always been there and I've just become aware of him more. And actually that is a really key thing I like to hold on to, because if I'm aware of that, and actually if I remember, oh, actually when I encountered God really powerfully, he was there. I just became aware of him. It wasn't like, bam, oh, he's been really far away and now he's here. It's that he was always there and now I'm noticing it almost. And that, I like to cling on to that, because then I feel like almost in any moment I'm ready for the prompting of God. Like I'm ready to listen to God. I'm aware that he's always there. And so I think that's a really powerful thing for me in terms of making space, is just almost remembering that and then letting that filter into everything, I guess.
Brilliant. Thank you, Matt. Go on, Chris. You were...
Yeah, if my faith was based on feelings, I'd have given up long ago. I really don't feel in that way, but I do trust the words in the Bible. So constantly I have to turn to the Bible for promises rather than feelings. I've read a brilliant example of what it means to believe in Jesus. The Philippian jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" And he was told, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." Imagine a loving father puts a child on a high wall and says, "Jump, I'll catch you." And the child looks down and thinks, "That's not a good idea. No, I'm not safe up here. Oh, yes, I trust my dad. He'll catch me." And jumps and is caught. And I think, you know, I've jumped into the arms of Jesus and I'm safe, even though I don't always feel.
That's wonderful. And just so people are clear, you've walked with Jesus for how many years? It's quite a long number of years.
Well, I was nearly 18. I can't work it out. I'm 84 now.
I made that 66 years. Isn't that amazing? Wonderful. Just so good. So thank you, Chris, for sharing that with us. I wonder if we can think a little bit about how... So those times of encounter with God, either in the day-to-day or those moments in history, how have they shaped your ongoing walk with God? We just heard a bit from Chris about that standing on God's truth and how that's just carried him through, not necessarily in an emotional way, but in a sense of just resting in what he knows to be true. How about for others? Sharon, what does that... How do those moments of encounter shape your walk with Jesus?
I think you learn to trust and recognize God's voice, so you know when it's God speaking to you. And sometimes I think, is this just me being imaginative? And I think it's partly why writing things down, weighing them up, coming back to them, seeing where there's a sense of peace in something or a sense of it fits, it feels right. Sometimes I've shared it with somebody else and I've said, "I've got something on my heart, can I explore it with you?" And then sometimes the Lord speaks to them as well and you get an even more clearer picture of what is being said. And so I think it's about learning to trust God's voice and recognizing that.
Yeah, thank you. How about for you, Emily?
Yeah, a bit like you were saying, Sharon, I think often like when I've encountered God, there's often been different words that have been spoken that kind of piece together from all of those different encounters and kind of help give direction sometimes, although you don't always get direction in life, but sometimes that's been a way that I've helped make different decisions and things like that. Like in times when, you know, it's been more difficult or finding it more difficult, remembering the times of encounter is really encouraging, or hearing from other people about things that are going on with them and different testimonies that they're sharing, even though they're not my own encounters, is encouraging in those times as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was just saying, and that I always think it's really important to just really try and consciously remember those moments. It's something that I've been thinking about whenever I've had a really good encounter moment with God, I always try and like shortly after to be like, right, I really need to just remember how amazing that was, how real that was, because that I feel like often, you know, almost like the devil takes it away afterwards. You kind of go, oh, but wait, but was that as good as it was? Was there, and in the struggling moments, then it's like, becomes more hard. So for me, there's really something in like, in that moment being like, I'm going to remember this exactly as it was and as amazing it was. And then in those moments when it's more difficult and you're like, oh, because you can really rely on those encounter moments, but then in those moments where it's more difficult, you're not going, was it quite as good as I remember? Because you're like, no, I really consciously remember it was that good in the moment. And I find that really helpful then going forwards after those moments.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Matt. And it seems, and Sharon, you touched on this very briefly, that sense that actually these moments of encounter with God take us to a place where we're connecting with others about our encounter and about Jesus. I wonder, actually, Chris, people might know that you've written quite a lot of books, and many of those books are about Jesus and about our faith. And is it encounter with God that's taken you to a place of wanting to write those books? What's that? Where's that outward focus come from?
I think I get nudges rather than absolute words and guidance in that way. Excuse me. Have I got time just to read words of a...
Yeah,
I'm not going to sing it, but it's an old hymn that was written in the 1880s. Oh, dear. I hear the Saviour say, your strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me your all in all. And in the chorus, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Since nothing good have I, whereby your grace to claim, I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. And the final verse, and when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat.
Yeah.
Faith is small. I don't want to sit up here as a shining example of the Christian faith. I struggle. But no spoilers, but it is. If you haven't read Pilgrim's Progress, the Christian does get to the end, he gets to the heavenly city. But he is bearing scars of battles and self-inflicted scars. That's it, really.
Yeah, that's
just
beautiful.
Praise Jesus for his faithfulness. He's been far more faithful to me than I have been to him.
That's beautiful, the way it expresses that walk, the long walking for a lifetime through the trials and the joys and the difficulties and every aspect of life. How about for others? How does the place of encounter with God take you to a place that is connecting with others?
Is that for me?
That's for us. Go on then, Matt.
A place of encounter with God, connecting with others. I guess, to me, I suppose it's a natural outflow of encounter with God in some ways. I mean, yeah, I mean, at least when everything's working well, it's a natural outflow of encounter with God. But in sense of, I mean, someone said it's like when you spend time with someone, you become more like them. And yeah, it's like that with encountering God. If when I'm encountering God, then that makes me naturally care more about other people, naturally be more challenged to be different, naturally be more compassionate, be more the person I'm meant to be. And so I think it's just the more time I spend with God, the more I then become like him, and therefore that outflows. And I guess also what Sharon said about recognizing God's voice, the more you encounter God, the more you're familiar with his voice, the more you're ready to hear the prompting to do X, Y, or Z, where that's what God's calling you to. And I'm talking very theoretically here because I, you know, don't always get it right, but you know, it's that thing of encountering God, then it's just a natural outflow from that, I think.
I would say that our small community is a place where we reflect how we encounter with God with each other. And I think when you have that place of safety and trust, you can develop an intimacy where you can share the things that God's doing in your life, and people can pray with you, and you can support each other. And there's a sort of a vulnerability there that enables us to all grow together, and things that other people say touch my heart and vice versa. And we're all built up together as we're sharing that journey together. So definitely our small community is a place where we're really blessed by having each other's experiences shared.
Yeah, thank you, Sharon.
I would say church and house group. House group is amazing, meeting with other Christians, sharing, just in the within the group, sharing things. And we've got a WhatsApp prayer group, and most days something appears on that. Not always a serious, serious issue, but something to share for prayer.
So it seems like that sense of community, just really important. And we saw that with the people of Israel. They came back as a community of people from exile. And they came, and together they built the temple, and together they built the walls, and together they found what it was to journey as a people with God, their Heavenly Father. And we've heard this morning just a wonderfully rich variety of expressions of how people walk with God. I love how for each of you, your walk with Jesus is different. And that should be unsurprising, because we're each individuals and Jesus connects with us as individuals and invites us individually into relationship. But then under it all is this truth, the certainty of God's word that you've expressed. I wonder, just as a kind of closing question, if, and Morag touched on this briefly as we were in that first time of worship, just that sense that for anyone here who's feeling like, I just don't feel like I'm encountering God. I just don't feel like God's near. What is encounter? And we've heard different expressions. But what would you say to that person who's saying, I just don't feel I'm encountering God? How would you encourage them?
I kind of already said it earlier, but sometimes it is helpful to find out how other people encounter God, but sometimes it isn't helpful in that if you don't experience the same thing that they do and in the same way, then you might think that you're not encountering him, but your own experience will be different, as all of ours is. So first of all, you might actually, just because you're not experiencing it in the way other people have said, it doesn't mean you're not experiencing God. And then, yeah, sorry, I already said it, but just things that already are passions in your life and in your heart, I think that might be a good place to start, to kind of open those areas to God and see what happens, because you might experience him in those ways, in new ways. So,
wonderful. Thank you. Anyone else want to just...
I would just add that I think I firstly looked at the everyday and the ordinary. So when I pull up at work in the car, I take a moment just to say a prayer and just to sort of give that time to God. And I often find as I go through the day, I see God's hand at work in small ways. And I'm always reminded of sort of some of the Celtic monastic communities where they would do their everyday chores. They would garden, they would wash, they would clean, they do the laundry. And every act of every task is seen as an act of worship to God. And in worshipping God, they encounter God in response. And it reminds me of that passage that, you know, when we draw near to God, he draws near to us as well. So I just, to be honest, any day task, I sometimes think standing, washing up, you know, hoovering, they're moments just to sort of posture my heart to God. And then I find often that I sense his presence and his peace in that moment.
Thank you so much. And thank you to all of you. I'm going to ask Matt and Sharon in just a moment are going to pray for us all. But hasn't it been brilliant to hear from them? Just amazing. I think we should give them a round of applause, actually. You've left us all with such a rich deposit of experience and truth, and that's been really precious. I wonder, so Matt and then Sharon, if you would pray for all of us. So there's those of us here, there's the people on the live stream, people who are going to be watching on catch up. Pray for us about our journey with God.
Yeah, Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a God that is always there, even if we we might feel unaware, but thank you that you are a God that is always there. Thank you that you're calling to us. And Lord, I just pray that you break through to everyone here, and to everyone on the live stream and everyone watching, that, that we would just encounter you, and that we would just be more aware of you. I pray for all of us for a passion to be ignited, to pursue you, continually, and yeah, may we be able to rely on the moments we've met with you, and may we just be able to continually know you with us, and thank you that you are constantly calling us to that. I just pray over what we've been talking about, that people would be able to meet with you in wonderfully personal ways to them. Thank you that you're a God that cares about all of us and about the individual. And I just pray that we would know that care, and that would drive our encounter with you. Yeah, so thank you, Father. I just pray that over all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I thank you, Lord, that you draw near to us first, and it's always our response in our worship to respond to you and to your great love for us. And we thank you, Lord, that there's nothing that we can do to make you love us more, that you already love us, and that anything we do is a response to that. And I thank you, Lord, that that brings us a freedom to just draw near to you in response in any situation we find ourselves in, and to invite you into those moments in our lives, to the joys, the sadnesses, the anxieties, the fear. Lord, that you are there waiting to step into those moments. And there's nothing clever or magical that we have to do other than just posture our hearts and our minds towards you and invite you in. And I ask, Lord, now that you will give us real creativity and imagination and a freedom to find new ways to encounter you in the everyday situations we find ourselves in. Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be coming alongside us and will open up to us new ways of seeing you and encountering you. And we ask, Lord, that you enable us to share those times with each other so that we can all build each other up and encourage each other. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. Now, head back to your seats. And Naomi, would you like to come up?